This is Zips Unlimited, a show about the University of Akron, its programs, its people, and its community. Zips Unlimited is produced by WZIP-FM.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Zips Unlimited. My name is Chris Kepler. I'm the general manager here at WZIP. Joining me today, actually, a number of people, but all sort of related in their own way. Terry Michaels, primarily. He is recently retired from the University of Akron, sort of, in a full-time position, but actually still here. You've heard him before, and he is kind of the face and the voice of our ROTC program. And that's exactly what we're going to be talking about here. After an Army career and then transitioning into the Department of Army / ROTC and kind of coordinating all of that on our campus for how long? You did this for quite a while.
About 13 years.
Okay. And sort of, I guess, transitioning out in a way. And
just a part-time instructor now, so okay. I teach one class for ROTC still.
All right. We're going to talk with some of the students, basically, some of the cadets in ROTC, to hear a little bit more about their experience, why they do what they do, what they love about it, and hopefully we'll stop right there, what they love about it.
Yeah. And then we don't talk about the other stuff, yeah.
Coming up a little bit later in the program, we do want to hear a little bit, too, from Terry about the minor in military sciences that we offer here at the University of Akron. But first, you know, let's talk in a general sense, Terry, about ROTC. What exactly, I mean, probably everybody listening has heard of that, but they might not really understand what it means.
Yeah, that's, you know, I talk to a lot of students, especially in new student orientations, and a lot of them don't, even family members, don't know what ROTC is. ROTC is, it's really a leadership curriculum. It's an elective you take in conjunction with any major. Freshman, sophomore year, there's no commitment to the Army, nothing like that. But the academics of it really builds a foundation of what leadership's all about. ROTC is a curriculum that leads to becoming a commissioned officer, like somebody from West Point. Mm-hmm. Officers, right from the get-go, right out of college or right out of West Point, you're in charge of 20 to 30 soldiers. Soldiers being in the Army for 6 months to somebody that's been in the Army 30 years. But you're the one leading that organization. So ROTC is an academic curriculum developing you, preparing you, teaching you about leadership so that you could do that when you graduate.
Do most of the people, you said freshman, sophomore year, there's no commitment, right?
Yes. So there's no commitment. You can take it, test it out. We've had a lot of students who have taken it just for the leadership curriculum and then decided not to continue. You can take it for one semester, two, three, four. And we've actually had instructors from other departments come in and tell us they can usually tell people that have taken ROTC because in junior, senior year, you're doing group projects and the ROTC students tend to stand out because they understand how to manage a group, how to lead, how to motivate and meet those time requirements.
Or even just work within a group.
Yeah,
even
exactly.
If you're not the leader, I mean, half the battle, I think, sometimes is.
Yeah, if you know, you've got to support the leader.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to support the leader. So the commitment would be if you decide to continue after sophomore year, junior, senior year, or we have students that come in with scholarships. If you can be a freshman, you can compete for one of our scholarships. Scholarships would be three-year scholarships, pay for sophomore to senior year. You'd need to commit before the money starts rolling. But if you decide that you want to complete ROTC when you graduate, you're commissioned just like somebody from West Point, second lieutenant. Same rank, same authority as somebody that's coming out of the military academy. And you could serve in the Reserves National Guard part-time, 1 week in a month, 2 weeks in the summer, or compete to serve on active duty, just like somebody from West Point. Mm-hmm. So you've got a lot of options there. We have a lot of students who, just last year I had a student who was an engineer. He had a job already lined up out of college, and he decided he wanted to just serve part-time. So he's in the National Guard. Mm-hmm. 1 week in a month, he'll put on his uniform, do his officer duties, but the rest of the time he's pursuing a civilian career. A lot of our students will go active duty, so they'll serve, you know, 3 or 4 years of active duty and then make the decision of whether they want to continue or not.
ROTC students, are they also wearing uniforms of some type? Are they doing like drills and basic training type stuff that I might be imagining?
Yeah, so the classes, so it's a class and lab that you take with ROTC. And the classes are focused on the academics of leadership. The labs are actually designed to teach you those same things they teach in basic training. So we teach you how to wear the uniform, how to march, how to do first aid. So that when students graduate with ROTC and are commissioned, they never go to basic training. All right. There is no basic training requirement. We fulfill that with our labs. So the first 2 years of the academics of leadership, third and fourth year, they actually start applying their leadership during the lab cycles, because we'll rotate our students through leadership positions, give them experience. So they can make mistakes here before they actually commission and stand in front of soldiers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But it's really just a classroom environment. The labs are every other Friday. Normally they'll wear their uniforms on lab. They'll wear their uniforms to class, specifically junior and senior year. But there's no requirement to wear them across campus or anything like that.
For people who might have remember or are currently experiencing an ROTC program in their high school, is there a correlation, or is it just completely different?
There is a similarity. The academics of high school JROTC is to teach good citizenship. So they will teach goal setting, time management, just like we do.
Mm-hmm.
So there's some similar classes that we teach, but really the bottom line is how to be a good citizen in the country for JROTC, whereas we are leadership, leadership theory,
problem solving, good leader. Citizenry, and
going that next
going
level
up, right.
So if we've got a student that's done JROTC, you can actually, for every 2 years of JROTC, that can count for 1 year of ROTC at the college level.
Oh.
Yeah. So if they've done 4 years of JROTC, they could get 2 years of college done, come and talk to one of us, and we can actually get them into the third and fourth year, if that's something they want to do.
Well, I mentioned a few minutes ago that we do have a couple of the actual cadets that are in the studio as well. Emmanuel Jensen is here along with Charles Ross. And now tell me, you're both in this where you're going to end up graduating as commissioned officers, right?
That's correct.
Okay. Charles, what made you do this? I mean, is this like something you thought about through high school, or you just sort of stumbled on it when you got to college, or what?
Yeah, so it kind of started from a very early age. My father was a military man. He's a reservist, so I had a lot of influence there. When I was in high school, I was actually in the Junior Reserve Officer Training Corps there. I had a lot of influence there, and then through that, I learned about college ROTC, and then I learned about ROTC scholarships, and so through that, I decided, yeah, that's what I want to do with my life.
So, and like, where do you see yourself? What do you see yourself really doing, I guess, or where you might be in, say, a few years?
Sure. So, well, what I'm hoping for is in a couple of years to commission as an active duty infantry officer, so hopefully get to go around, see the world, help people out, and honestly run around and do crazy stuff, because that's what infantrymen do.
Okay. It's interesting, too, that you mentioned you want to help people, and I don't know if sometimes people correlate, you know, military with helping people. I think we have these other images and connotations that we attach, but that's, you know, that's not really one of yours as much as just kind of being there for who needs you.
Absolutely. No, I think that's a really good point that you bring up. I mean, a lot of times there's this perception that we're like, oh, we're, you know, monsters, you know, warriors, you know, a bunch of grunts, bunch of, you know, dumb people. A lot of time there's this negative, especially because of what's portrayed in the media and in movies and whatnot. But behind every soldier is just a regular person like you and me who has a family they want to get home to, and they want to help make a difference in any way they can.
Emmanuel, what's your story? How did you get from where you were to where you are now?
So when I was little, I've always enjoyed like military movies or like history and all that, and I was intrigued with the Army. And so junior year of high school, I enlisted, and my dad told me he knew I was going to get a degree, so he told me that the best way to be in the Army and get a degree is ROTC. So I talked to the recruiter, got more information, and so I enlisted in the reserves, in the Army Reserves, and after basic training, AIT, all that, I came here, and about a year later after that, I contracted as a cadet.
And happy with that decision, so far at least?
Yeah. So it's definitely different here as enlisted life. So like enlisted, you get told what to do, and you just, you know, yes, sir, and you go do it. Versus here, you got to, like, think about it. You got to think about what you want your soldiers to do. You come up with the tasks for them.
You know, Terry was saying a few minutes ago, you might have heard that a lot of this is really about leadership and developing leaders, and it has more of the Army context to it. But that leadership, those leadership qualities can be taken anywhere. Should you retire maybe and still want to, you know, do something, do some other type of work or whatever. Do you feel you're learning leadership skills?
Yeah, 100%. I'm learning a lot from that. So, like, a lot of people, a lot of companies, they like to hire, like, former officers because they already have experience leading, like, amounts of people. So they want them as supervisors to help out and manage little groups of wherever they're at.
I have to agree. A lot of times, you know, you end up with, when it comes to hiring a candidate for a job, you have people, you know, who probably don't have a whole lot of experience in regards to what it actually means to be in charge of other people's lives. Because as a leader, decisions you make directly impact those who are under you. And there's no greater way to understand that than being in the military, where the lives of, you know, people who are under your command, you know, are in your hands. So I think that's why it's a great thing for, you know, veterans to have that opportunity, and it's a good time for the employer to seek out those types of people.
Did you think of yourself as leaders prior to this, like maybe back in high school or whenever?
At first, when I was up and coming, no, I wasn't really familiar with the whole idea of leadership as a whole, not until I got into the Junior Reserve Officer Training Corps program in high school. While I was there, I kind of learned about it a little bit through the upperclassmen, learned what it means to kind of take care of people and to set a good example, and understanding how leadership is the ability to motivate people through purpose, direction, and motivation so that you can all achieve a common goal.
Mm. Where'd you go to school?
I went to Perry High School in Massillon, Ohio.
So shout out to Perry.
Go Panthers.
I went to Lake, but way before you were in high school. Manuel, did you see yourself as a leader in the past?
Honestly, no, I didn't see myself as a leader at all. Okay. I still am, but I was a quiet kid. I just stayed home. I kind of avoided people, but being in the military, that kind of forces you, obviously, to be with people. Mm-hmm. And once I was in that environment, then I found out I was a better leader than most of those people. And that encouraged me to learn more about that.
You know, Charles, you said a minute ago that in terms of being a leader, the importance, because of the fact that there are people's lives, that you are making decisions that would impact those lives. And it made me think just instantly, it's so much different from other types of leadership positions where, you know, maybe you are managing a thing, an entity, you're managing software, you might be managing people. But most of the time, lives are not at stake, mm-hmm. you know, with a lot of, you know, leadership management type positions. And that's really heavy when you think about that.
Of course. No, and that's what I like to think about, too. In a regular setting, let's say the business setting, the mm-hmm. corporate world, obviously you make a mistake, there's going to be consequences, but there's not really that much room for error. You know, we can bounce back. But in terms of a military environment where something as simple as not paying attention or looking into the tree line where there might be a bad guy pointing a gun at one of your buddies, you know, that's critical. Mm-hmm. So that's why that attention to detail is really, really important, especially when you're in a leadership role.
You know, you said also a few minutes ago that, you know, there are these perceptions of you know, men and women who want to lead and have a military life. You know, whether it's people you're friends with here at the University of Akron or maybe some of your high school buddies or whoever, are you getting the respect that you think you deserve for making this decision?
So truthfully, I don't think I'm warranted any type of respect. The decision to serve is mine alone. I want to help out, like I said, in any way I possibly can. I don't believe I'm entitled to any sort of respect whatsoever. That is just what's expected of a service member. One of our seven values actually is selfless service, and that's to put others' needs before your own and to give without expecting anything in return. So, of course, here and there, you know, I mean, especially I'm a cadet. I'm not enlisted like Emmanuel over here. And I'll wear the uniform here and there, and I'll have people say thank you for your service. And I'm like, well, I'm a college student. I haven't done any service whatsoever. The only service I've done is clean up the basketball stadium post game. But no, truthfully, like, you know, I think it's a very supportive community, though, all around. They're like, hey, we really appreciate you. And so I feel appreciated, but ultimately I don't think I need any sort of respect. I'm happy with what I'm doing. I'm happy with the path that I'm taking, and I'm good to go.
I mean, are you also appreciated, do you think?
Yeah, I think I do, because a lot of people ask me, you know, like, hey, like, how can you do this? This is like, sometimes it's intense, you know, you get physically exhausted where you hit the pillow at night and you're asleep. And so a lot of people, they can't do that. And they're very appreciative that, you know, I can do that for them. Mm-hmm. And also the fact that, like, the Army is teaching me, so I can turn around and take what I've learned from the Army to teach them as well. And so overall, everyone's getting more experience from me being in the military.
If there were maybe some high school students listening right now who maybe are tossing this whole thing around, what would your advice be? I assume your advice would be like, absolutely do it, get involved. But I mean, what should they be prepared for? What should somebody be doing maybe before they get to the university or right when they get to the university to make this experience the best and fulfilling that it can be?
Sure. Yeah. So honestly, what I would say first and foremost is just be ready to take responsibility for your actions. That's the biggest thing. And I think that's something that a lot of people struggle with is taking personal accountability, because when you come here in ROTC, eventually you will be taking on a leadership role. Maybe you'll start a little bit earlier, but eventually you will at some point. And something that's very critical is understanding that, whatever happens, it falls upon you. Okay, it's a team effort. Okay, if you're the one in charge of the group, if something doesn't go right, you have to be willing to stand up and say, all right, that was my bad. It was my call. It's my fault, instead of pointing fingers, which is what a lot of people do. So that's what I would say, is just be ready to take responsibility.
Mm-hmm. Emmanuel, anything to add to that?
He's right on that. Like I said, I did it a little differently. Mm-hmm. So I enlisted first and then came to college. And that gives me a different perspective as a cadet, because I know what the enlisted people think, like how they think. I know what they would do. So that helps me be a better leader for them, because I can think of their needs as well as what my overall goals are. So that'll help throughout my career. That doesn't mean you have to enlist right away before you go to college, but in my opinion, I think it was extremely worth it.
Mm-hmm.
One more thing I want to add that I kind of want to preach to anyone who may be listening is, so as I discussed earlier, I said one of our values was selfless service. So we have something in the Army known as the 7 Army Values. It's in the acronym of LEADERSHIP, actually. So it stands for loyalty, duty, respect, selfless service, integrity, respect, and personal courage. And I just want everyone to know that, like, you don't have to be a soldier to necessarily live by those values. Those 7 values are the recipe for success. And if you do your part and do the best you can to live your life through those values, you will be successful.
You know, we do have a, obviously, majors and minors here at the university. We mentioned at the beginning of the program that we do have a minor in military sciences now. Is that some of those same courses you were just describing, or is this something separate?
No, that would be the same courses. So students that go through ROTC, the all 4 years of ROTC, they will receive a minor in military science and leadership when they graduate. So that's all part of, that was developed in 1986 or 1987 is when that kicked in.
Mm-hmm. So if you're an English major, communication major, history major, whatever, and this sounds kind of appealing, but you don't really want to go, you already know you're not going to commit. Can you just take like a couple classes here and there?
Yes.
And can I also earn the minor without taking that next step to being a commissioned officer, or is that kind of a one or the other?
There are methods to achieve the minor. You can get into our upper classes without committing, but a lot of the leadership experience that our students get, you wouldn't be eligible for that. So we're not going to put individuals just trying to get the minor in charge or leading right. others at this point, because that's really the developmental part of getting these students ready to lead soldiers.
Mm-hmm. You know, I know I keep bringing up, you know, not committing.
Right.
it's not intended to be, you know, I don't know, a statement of some type that you shouldn't commit to that military, you know, career.
Right.
Why do people want to? What draws them to, you know, to the military?
There's really a couple, you know, a lot of individuals have family history that their family have served at one time or another, so they want to continue that. There's the motivation of wanting to give back to the country is another one. We've had students who really their focus for taking ROTC is really the scholarships. Scholarships through ROTC cover 100% tuition and fees, $1,200 a year for books, and $400 a month, $420 a month while you're in school, so August to May. We've had students that want to do that, and then they'll serve their time and they're done. We've had various reasons of why people want to do that. I've had international students that have come in that really want to become a U.S. citizen, and we link with the Ohio National Guard. If you're a member of the Ohio National Guard, they also receive 100% scholarship, but those individuals want to be an officer. So they will, if you're a member of the National Guard, there's a rapid process that can get your citizenship within 6 months. So I've had several students who came in, talked to me, international students, decided to enlist in the National Guard for their citizenship and still do ROTC, and then they commission.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the first 2 years, you know, the easy way to get into ROTC, you don't need to talk to anybody. There's no paperwork you need to sign. It's you just add it to your curriculum for the semester. It's MILS 100, MILS 101 for the freshman year. Lab's not required the first semester if you're a freshman coming in, because we understand that the advisors have plans for your classes, typically your first semester. But after the first semester, we really want to get you into the labs because that's part of the curriculum. Same with the second year, MILS 200 and 201. Are the classes, and then 210 and 211 in the labs. But third year on, that's when it's instructor permission, instructor, the department actually putting you into the classes if you want to continue. And it's strictly up to you as the individual of whether you want to or not.
You know, you said that some of this kind of came into play in the mid to late 1980s, I think 1986 or 87.
For the minor,
okay.
Right.
It seems like, at least back in things, I graduated high school in 1986, so that's kind of where my focus is a little bit. And I remember it being very much then, and I don't know how much it's like this now, where you didn't talk about college and military in the same sentence. It was, you know, you go to college or you might go, you know, to military training of some type. But living proof here at the University of Akron, at least for decades, that, you know, you really can combine both of those things.
Yeah, ROTC has been here at the University of Akron since 1918, really the founding of ROTC after World War I. So we've been continuous. We've had graduates since 1923 on. We've commissioned folks almost every year. It's something that you can do in conjunction. The big thing is, in order to be an officer, you have to have a four-year degree. You can't be an officer without a four-year degree. So for those that aren't going to college and want to go in the military, you're going to be an enlisted soldier. An enlisted soldier is an individual who you'll be trained to do something for the Army, to be a generator mechanic, to be a helicopter engine mechanic, but you're the one doing the work. The commissioned officer is somebody in charge of the operation. So think of an engineer. You're the project leader for an engineering team. You are the person in charge of four helicopters, not just working on one helicopter. So those individuals are working for you as the commissioned officer. And as a commissioned officer, one of the requirements is a four-year degree.
What do you think was your greatest achievement or the thing that you're most proud of from your service?
Mine is working with soldiers. Surprisingly, the Army, especially as a commissioned officer, it's a people person business. You're accomplishing tasks. You're given missions to accomplish. You've got objectives, you know, goals that you need to achieve, but it's working through people to achieve those. Mm-hmm. So when you talk about leadership, when you talk about motivation of organizations, setting goals, part of Army leadership is you achieve your missions, you take care of your goals, but you leave the organization better than when you found it. That is all a people person business. And when I first went in, when I first graduated and commissioned, my plan was I'm going to serve 4 years and then I'm going to get out and pursue my accounting degree. I really fell in love with working with people. So I continued on 23 years in the Army mm-hmm. before I retired.
You know, when you see the way the Army is portrayed in media or and maybe stemming from media, just in general conversations, when people, you know, say things, make assumptions or whatever, there's probably some things you hear or see where you just roll your eyes and think that is so not true. And I wish people would stop saying it. What are those things?
The biggest thing is, you know, you don't need to think that you're told to do everything in the Army. And that's really unfounded. In the Army, we deal with complex issues and complex problems all the time, dealing with different cultures all the time. So I think the Army really broadens your perspective quite a bit. I know my personal experience when I went to the Army, born and raised in Akron and lived in Barberton all my life, graduated from Barberton High School, came to Akron, went through ROTC, commissioned, and I was in the Army for 5-6 years. I'd come back and I'd visit my family who still lived here and still live here. But I'd see some of my friends who had graduated with from high school, and they had never left Barberton. And just their view of the world and their view of life mm-hmm. was so much narrower than what I had experienced. And that was
a big
awakening.
It's not a knock to Barberton.
If you've never left that area and you've grown up and lived in that area all the time, you don't get that big perspective and that multicultural dimension to life. That I think you can receive from the Army. I mean, the Army allowed me to see the world. I lived in Germany 6.5 years while I was there. I got a chance to visit Japan several times, Korea. I was able to see a world view perspective that I don't think you would ever receive, or I would never have received had I not been in the Army.
Zips Unlimited can be heard each Saturday at noon on 88.1 WZIP FM. Z.